The Old Testament reading for the day of Thanksgiving is from Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now this man was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sermon text today is Luke 17, 11 to 19, the gospel lesson which was just read. The sermon title is, "Now Thank We All Our God." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our gospel lesson this morning is about a miracle of Jesus that demonstrates 3 important aspects of a Christian life. First, we see God's grace and his gifts. Second, we see a believer's response to God's grace in faith. Third, we see a believer's thanks and praise. So let's review each aspect in this story and apply it to our own lives. The story begins with Jesus' journeys from town to town on the border of Samaria and Galilee. It takes place at the end of Jesus' ministry, shortly before Palm Sunday. By this time in his ministry, everyone in Palestine had heard about Jesus and about his many miracles and healing. As he was about to enter a village, he and his disciples encountered a group of 10 lepers, and you know they couldn't be in the village because they had to live outside. And they cried to him for help. We don't know how they recognized Jesus. We can presume, though, that they'd heard about his many miracles, and they hoped that he could cure them too. The unique feature of this healing, compared to Jesus' other miracles, was that he did not heal the lepers immediately. Instead, he commanded them to go to the priests in Jerusalem, who were in charge of public health. The regulations are found in Leviticus 13, 1 to 46, and chapter 14, 1 to 32. Our Sunday Bible class looked at this several months ago. The priests were to examine people whose skin gave evidence of leprosy. The priests would then make an official pronouncement of either clean or unclean. Those who were unclean had to live outside of the camp or outside the town limits once the people were settled, while those pronounced clean could return to normal society and its functions. The lepers responded to Jesus' command to them by packing their bags, their little tent city, you know, we've seen those. Well, they had something like that. And they headed to Jerusalem to visit the public health priests. Well, on the road, they were discovered that all of them were completely healed. 9 of the healed lepers continued on to receive their official approval, while 1 healed leper turned back and found Jesus. By that time, I'm sure, in the village. Verses 15 and 16 note that the 1 healed leper was praising God with a loud voice, and he fell at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Luke reports that the man who returned was a Samaritan. Jesus then commended the Samaritan for his response to his healing. The gospel concludes with Jesus' words, "Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well." Now, this story is straightforward, and except for the last verse, needs little explanation. Jesus' words there, where he says, "Your faith has made you well," seems to contradict verse 14, where it indicates that all 10 lepers were cleansed and healed. And it might also give the impression that faith itself was the cause of the leper's healing instead of its instrument. The best explanation of verse 14, which is congruent with the rest of the scriptures, is that all 10 lepers were physically healed, but only the one with faith, that is the one who returned, was truly healthy in every respect, that is in body, mind, and soul. Wellness in Christian terms, we talk about wellness a lot these days, is not just a matter of physical health or endurance. It's also a matter of mental, emotional, and spiritual health, and endurance in all those respects. The 9 healed lepers who did not return did not exhibit their faith through the praising of God and the thanking of Jesus. What was wrong with them? Didn't they know that they were only healed by the grace of God and by the love and compassion of Jesus? Otherwise, they would have continued on in leprosy and probably an unhappy and short death. Or did they think that Jesus was maybe some type of divine healer whose ministrations they deserved because they were the elect of God? And that's what the Jews were. The Samaritan, on the other hand, realized that he was healed only by God's grace and the compassion and love of Jesus. He realized that he did not deserve the gift. It was a gift of restored health. He realized that Jesus was not sent by God to hand out gifts of physical health, like you might put a coin in a vending machine and get something out, but that Jesus came for the eternal salvation of everyone, including the Samaritans. Jesus' words, "Your faith has made you well," might seem to make the Samaritan's faith the cause of his own healing, as if faith itself has the power to do those things. You've heard of faith healing before. Well, that's kind of the idea that this verse could lend itself to. Lutheran theologians reject this possible confusion by teaching that faith is an instrument and not a cause of grace or salvation. The Apology of the Augsburg Confession explains faith in this way, and I quote it at length. "In speaking of justifying faith, therefore, we must remember that these 3 elements always belong together. The promise itself, the fact that the promise is free, and the merits of Christ as the price and propitiation. The promise is accepted by faith. The fact that it is free excludes our merits and shows that the blessing is offered only by mercy. The merits of Christ are the price because there must be a certain propitiation for our sins. At every mention of mercy, we must remember that mercy requires faith, faith which accepts the promise of mercy. Similarly, at every mention of faith, we're also thinking of its object, that is, the promised mercy. For faith does not justify or save because it is a good work in itself, but only because it accepts the promised mercy." End of quote from the Apology, Article 4. This passage from the Apology perfectly explains what happened in the miracle of the healing of the 10 lepers. Note in verse 13 that they cried out to Jesus. What did they say? "Jesus, have mercy upon us." The result of Jesus' gift of mercy required faith, which accepted the promise of mercy. So the Samaritan was made well not because his faith was a good work in itself, because faith accepted the promised mercy of Jesus. We finish our review of this miracle story with some comments about the nature of thanks. Besides Thanksgiving Day, how often do you thank God for his gifts to you? Do you thank him for your food through a table grace? Do you thank him for the good things of the day or night through a morning or evening prayer? Now, you maybe often pray for things, but do you give him thanks for things in your prayers? Do you offer him thanks through our Lutheran liturgy on Sunday? Or while the congregation sings and does what it does, is your mind and heart elsewhere? In Luther's Small Catechism, under the Second Commandment, he teaches us that the positive way to obey the Second Command is to, quote, call upon God's name in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Luther's Catechism, which you can find in our hymn book, pages 321 to 330, includes daily prayers, all of which do just that. There you can find, in that hymn book, the morning prayer, the evening prayer, a prayer before meals, and a prayer after a meal. Lutherans have used these prayers now for, well, about 500 years. And they do the job perfectly, although you may also use your appropriate daily prayers. With regard to giving thanks to God in our Sunday worship, we don't have the time to look at all the liturgies. I draw your attention to the Lutheran liturgy for Sunday, the one that we have normally at communion. In the Glory in Excelsis, we include the phrase, "We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory." You maybe just sing or go right through that, but notice the word thanks in the Gloria. At the end of the first and second lessons, you respond, "Thanks be to God." In the proper prefaces, which is preparing us for the communion, the pastor normally includes the phrase that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to thee. Then after the communion, we give thanks for the body and blood of our Lord with the words of Psalm 107. And you know these words, I'm pretty sure. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. The pastor then wraps up that section with a prayer of thanks for this salutary gift, meaning the Lord's Supper. And the last words in the Lutheran liturgy spoken by the congregation besides the men are, thanks be to God. So thanks is kind of like bookends on that service, and it comes at various places in response to the word and the sacrament. The interweaving of thanks throughout the divine service in the Lutheran liturgy is just one reason we should always retain it and return to it, even if we occasionally use other liturgies, such as Matins this morning, others provided in our hymn book, and maybe others on rare occasions, such as the lessons and carols. Christians who do not use liturgies often fail, if you can imagine this, to give thanks. They fill their churches with praise, but where's the thanks? Is this ingratitude or just an oversight? I don't know. I've asked some of them, and they always think I have offended them when I ask. So I don't know. I can't answer. You can also fail to give thanks, you yourself, in our service by just mouthing the words and not sincerely meaning that from your heart. See, thanks is chiefly a matter of the heart. It doesn't necessarily need words, except the receiver needs to know that. You know, your aunt who sent you a shirt or a blouse for Christmas, what are you supposed to send in return? Well, if you don't do that, she might remind you to say, well, I was very thankful for that, Aunt Lucy. And she would say, but you didn't let me know. You didn't use your words. You understand, this is what we do. So it's chiefly a matter of the heart, but also then is expressed in words. May you always have faith in the promised mercy of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life, so that you truly praise and thank Jesus on this day and for the rest of your life and forever in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.